Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am honored to have in the studio an old friend of mine. I haven't seen you in, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years, something like that.
I think since we've seen each other in person, it has been a few years, yes.
Yeah, you're like a celebrity now. Because you have those celebrity shades on. I love it.
You know, the sun is, the windows here in the studio are facing due east, and the sun is a little blinding, so I'm not trying to be cool.
You're cool. You're a cool New Yorker.
Yes.
We ought to say who you are. Gwen Cooper is here. And if you love cats, you need to listen to Gwen in this conversation we're about to have. You can participate, of course, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I think what put you on the map is a cat by the name of Homer.
Well, I think what actually put me on the map was a man named Steve Dale letting the world know about my cat Homer. But yes, my first cat book was Homer's Odyssey, A Fearless Feline Tale, or How I Learned About Love and Life with a Blind Wonder Cat.
Well, you did learn about love and life. I mean, so the amazing thing about this book is, and I want to talk to you about your current, what do you call a group of cats? Clouders.
A clouder cat. But yes, who are covered in my new book.
But what would you call your group of menagerie isn't quite the right word.
Menagerie is
a good word. You have, implies you have turtles and maybe a hippopotamus in the bathtub. I doubt you do.
Well, I have one cat who sort of doubles as a dog. So does that count?
I think so. But I want to talk about Homer.
Okay.
Because this book wasn't, and the book is still available.
Yeah, still selling.
The book, and that's the thing is, that book resonated with people who, first of all, didn't understand cats. And after they read your book, they thought about cats differently. And it's not only a book about a cat, it's a book about all of us.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that really resonated with people about Homer's story is, you know, Homer was a blind cat and all of these dire predictions had been made when he was very young about the horrible life he was going to lead. And there were those who said that the kindest thing would be simply to euthanize him. And it's actually 10 years this year since that book was published, now that I'm thinking about it. This August will be 10 years.
Do you think it's happy anniversary? Do you think as many shelters still say, and not only shelters, just individuals say, the cat's blind, forget about it.
So according to Blind Cat Rescue and Sanctuary, which is one of two organizations dedicated specifically to rescuing blind cats, and they do say that you know, with the publication of Homer's Odyssey and some more attention being brought to their organization because of it, that there is a much lower euthanization rate of blind cats simply upon intake simply because they're blind. And you know, from what I can tell in social media, and obviously people with blind cats tend to seek me out. So I may have, you know, my anecdotal evidence is probably not actual, you know, data. But having said that, I do see a tremendous number of people who have blind or otherwise special needs cats and dogs. And I hear from people with special needs pets all the time.
Do you think special needs pets actually, because people say this all the time, and then the scientist in me makes me say, well, do you think they actually know that they've been rescued by you?
You know, I don't know if they know that per se. And I always say that Homer never knew he was blind. He was blind his whole life. He was blind from birth. So I don't know that he knew he was blind. But I think that there is a different kind of bond that forms between a person and a special needs animal. And part of that is because to a certain extent, no matter how, you know, there is always, They do need you a little bit more.
Sure.
And Homer was incredibly independent and did everything that a cat can do. But he did sort of rely on me a little bit more to give him information, the tone of my voice, you know, the things that he paid a little bit closer attention to me than my other cats did, because I was a secondary, you know, an auxiliary source of information, a sort of second brain, I guess, for him. And so it was a different kind of relationship.
The human animal bond becomes a little more tighter, stronger.
Yeah, it was. I still have to remind myself that he's not here. You know, we did lose him a few years ago. It really was, and I love insanely. You know, the two Nudniks I have now, and every cat that I've had. I would not say that I love Homer more, but it
oh, you
it
might.
Was,
I think all of us say there's one or two individual animals, dogs or cats, that somehow touch our heart in a special way, or there's a story connected with them.
It was a more intense kind of bond,
yeah.
I would say, that I had with Homer. And again, you know, but I also say like the relationships I have with all of them really are different and grow out of the specific personality of, I'm really not trying to equivocate, like, you know, but they really are all different. They all have different personalities. They all need you in different ways. Some mm-hmm. of them need you a whole lot less. And especially with cats, that is just the reality of the situation. And, I've definitely learned different things from all, you know, my first cat who ignored me for pretty much the first 3 years that I was with her. I really learned what I think is an important lesson that you rescue an animal, not just for what they can do for your life, but for what you can do for them. And, you know, so what I learned from her was that it's not a cat's obligation to make me feel a certain way. You know, it's mm-hmm. my job to give them. So they, and that was incredibly valuable. I will always treasure her actually, because she kind of made me a better person, at a very young age. And
change your career, I think.
Well, Homer, I mean, certainly did. I really, all of them did. It's, you know, I certainly would not have thought when I first adopted my first cat, which will be 25 years ago in May.
How is that? You're only 27. I don't understand. So 847.
In dog years.
847 wants to know, 312-981-7200. That's how you could text us. So 847 wants to know, I'm thinking of adopting a blind cat. Do you have any very specific advice?
Yes. You know, the first thing I would say is that you should definitely consider, you know, what kind of home you have. Homer was a very courageous and independent cat, but all cats have different personalities, whether or not they're blind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you want to start with a home that has the fewest possible impediments for a blind cat. So I think you want to think about how many, you know, other animals you already have in the home, whether or not you have children, physical obstacles. Would your home be in any way? There are lots and lots of stairs. Would it be tricky for, you know, a cat who can't see to potentially figure out? You should also be prepared. I mean, ultimately, Homer did not need more from me, really, not much more from me than my other cats did. But that is not always going to be the case.
How do you help them? How do you help them? You can't show them a floor plan. So how do you help them figure out
where things are?
Yeah, and if there are stairs, what do you do?
You know, so again, cats are smart and they tend to figure a lot of things out. Homer just had a really good sort of navigation system in his head. I would put him in what I would do when I brought him to a new home is I would put him into his litter box so that he would learn the layout of everything in relation to where his litter box was.
When you moved, you mean?
When I moved.
Not when,
when,
you,
I, when I first brought him home. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we moved a few times. And so when we moved, the first thing I would do when I brought him in, I didn't just kind of open the carrier and let him out. I put him into his litter box so he would know where that was, and that would sort of become like home base.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also good, you know, he could smell the litter box. I mean, that is a different smell than anything else. I think if you have a large home, it's a good idea to maybe scent mark, you know, with different, get some essential oils that would not be offensive to cats, and scent mark different doorways so that they can associate a smell with a room.
That's a good idea.
You know, when I was young and not as well healed as I am these days, that was not really an issue. We didn't live in particularly palatial homes. But if you have a room, you know, a home with 9, 10, you know, rooms, when you're getting into double digits, I think you definitely want to help a blind cat out in figuring out which room is which.
Who do you currently have?
I have two cats now, litter mates. They came to me as a bonded pair. Clayton, who is a tripod, he has only three legs.
Yes.
And his litter mate Fanny. And they are adorable. They are incredibly sweet. They are not the smartest cats I've ever lived with, but they are incredibly sweet and funny and just great cats.
And what's the name of your current book?
My current book is called My Life in a Cat House, True Tales of Love, Laughter, and Living with Five Felines. And so it covers, you know, Homer and Scarlett and Vashti. It tells a lot of things that happened subsequent to the publication of Homer's Odyssey, as well as stories about the other two cats that would not have made it into Homer's Odyssey. And then also continues the adventures with Clayton and Fanny. So it's not exactly a sequel to Homer's Odyssey, but you could certainly see it that way if you've read Homer's Odyssey and want to know more about the rest of us and what happened after that book came out. It certainly will let you know that.
Are you surprised by the success of... I mean, the fact that, okay, a couple of years later, several years later, Homer's Odyssey still sells very, very well.
Yeah.
And it was on the New York Times bestsellers list, a cat book.
Yeah, and it actually reappeared on the bestseller list in 2015. I'm still not sure how that, you know, which was 6 years after it was initially published. It was back on for another 3 weeks. And, you know, so there's the part of me, I worked in marketing for a long time before I began writing full time. And I knew how many cat people there were in the country. And so I had this very mathematical approach. And so I thought, oh, you know, this can achieve certainly a certain amount of success just based on the numbers. And yet as a writer, you're always surprised because it really is just a Word document in your computer. And then...
Yes.
One day it's a book and people are reading it and lots of people are reading it. And, you know, it's you go in hoping for that. And yet when it happens, it also is it feels kind of surreal.
So you're probably wondering if Gwen Cooper is as much fun in person. And you can find that out tonight, right?
Actually, well, this afternoon I am going to be speaking at...
Oh, it's this afternoon.
This afternoon.
Oh, okay.
We're at a luncheon.
All
yes.
right. We'll tell people about that luncheon. When we come back, we'll take more of your text. And more of your phone calls right here on WGN. It's 6:48, actually. Yeah, I almost said 6:47, but it's
early.
Not. It is early. But you lost an hour, right, coming from New York?
I did, yeah. So it was technically
so
later on my
yeah,
clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in Chicago, it's 6:48. WGN, Steve Dale at 9 minutes before 7 o'clock. Gwen Cooper, Cat Lady Extraordinaire. Is that okay if I call you a cat lady?
Absolutely. I wear my cat lady badge with honor.
On your sleeve.
If they make me one, I'll put it on.
Are you a crazy cat lady?
Well, I'm crazy and I'm a cat lady. So,
are you offended by that term?
You know, yes.
I mean, really, because, I mean, people that have three cats, people have three dogs, no one says you're a crazy dog person.
Well, not to get all political first thing in the morning.
Well, we can.
But I will say that, you know, cats tend to be more strongly associated with women, and I think that there is a general disparagement of things that are more strongly associated with women.
Ah, okay.
And so I think the moniker of crazy cat lady is just a way of being dismissive of a whole group of women because they like cats.
But the truth is that millennials now prefer cats more than dogs, as far as really, when you look at the data, the number of pets millennials have is more than any other generation prior. And they actually have more cats than dogs.
Well, I think part of that, too, and that makes sense. I mean, because they're also buying homes later. They tend to live more in apartments and in mm-hmm. urban areas. They
yep.
are postponing buying homes, starting families, the things that you associate with dogs and
their
cats
family,
are much more independent.
The yeah. family very often is their pet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
And forever.
Right. And so that actually makes sense to me. Because, I mean, that's why I ended up adopting cats. They just fit better into a hardworking apartment lifestyle when I was a mere slip of a girl some 25 years ago.
So I won't read all the text here. Some of them I would like. Have you ever met Elvis Presley?
Okay, so I'm older than 27, but not quite old enough to have met Elvis Presley.
I'm not sure where that comes from. Here's something that comes from me. In Chicago, or near Chicago.
My mom saw him perform once.
Really?
She didn't meet him or anything, but she saw him.
Did his hips really shake?
She has fond memories.
Oh, good, okay. You will be speaking.
Yes, I'm going to be speaking today at a luncheon in Skokie, at the Holiday Inn in Skokie, for a wonderful, wonderful organization called Touched by an Animal.
Yes.
And they provide services for elderly people with pets to help them, you know, be able to keep their pets. A lot of times, you know, those relationships are so enriching and so meaningful, especially for the elderly. And yet it can be difficult for some people to perform the day-to-day tasks of cleaning a litter box and things like that. And so the goal of the organization is both to keep seniors citizens with their pets for as long as possible, and also to then provide a permanent home for those cats
if needed.
If the person passes or enters, you know, a nursing facility where they can't bring the cat, so that people have the assurance of knowing that their cats are going to be cared for their lifetimes. And I really cannot say enough great things about their mission or the work that they do.
I agree. And when will this be? Today?
Today. And again, the organization is called Touched by an Animal. So if you look them up online, you can find out, you know, get all the specific details about the event. But it starts today, I believe, at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's in Skokie. And
you'll be out there speaking.
It's a great organization.
Yes. Yes, it is. So I suppose you could just show up and get some
tickets? Yes, you can buy tickets at the door. I think there are still a few left. And I'd certainly love to see some of y'all there.
Yes. And Gwen Cooper, I bet, would sign books if you bring a book.
I will absolutely be signing books, and there will be books there for sale. So if you don't have time to run out to get a book before you get to the
people probably already have all your books.
Well, it would certainly be nice to think so, but of course, all copies purchased at the event will benefit the organization.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yes. Yes.
That's very
100%
nice.
Of the, you know, the proceeds are going directly to the organization.
So I wish that we had more time in Chicago, because where I would take you is the Windy Kitty Cat Cafe. We finally have a cat cafe in Chicago.
You know, I have not been there. So cat cafe is the new thing.
Yes.
And I have heard it. And I've been to, now when I travel, I do end up more in cat cafes.
Of course.
And it's just such a great concept. And so it's so great for rescue organizations to have such a wonderful, you know, I think so much of the barrier in rescue is that people still think of shelters as sad places. And as you know,
it's an issue. Yeah.
There are so many, I just see so many shelters that are legitimately great places, you know, cage-free, no-kill shelters where the cats are happy and they're colorful, and it's colorful and clean and happy cats.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly cat cafes are another way to bring cats, you know, deeper into the community and I think remove one of those barriers that a lot of people have.
And in Chicago, what happened is it's become, excuse me, another adoption outlet. So Animal Care and Control has, especially in the summertime, too many cats. I mean, just too many. So here is a facility that takes those cats and very successfully adopts them out. I mean,
well, look,
great.
You know, 90% of the ballgame, right, is getting someone to hold the cat and say, oh, my God, I can't let this cat go, which is a thing that happens to me. It's the occupational hazard. I spend a lot of time in shelters, and I always, you know, I'm tempted to, like, stuff a cat or two into my bag on the way home. But yeah, I mean, just giving people the opportunity to interact with the cats and hold them and engage with them, I think, is so much of what it takes to get cats adopted. And so I just think it's wonderful.
It is. Your website is?
GwenCooper.com.
GwenCooper.com. Thank you so much. The name of the most recent book?
My Life in a Cat House, True Tales of Love, Laughter, and Living with Five Felines.
She knows, you know, the pets aren't like family. They are family. And that's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you and your dogs and cats, or whatever you have, need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont, Western, and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency, specialty, and critical care 24/7. That's the whole idea. MedVet is a certified VECCS Level 1 Trauma Center and American Animal Hospital Association accredited referral hospital, meaning that your pets always receive the most comprehensive and compassionate care available. To learn more, check them out at MedVet Chicago. No, that's wrong. I did that wrong. It's MedVetForPets.com. Sorry.
I won't hold it against you.
You should. MedVetForPets.com or call them at 773-281-7110, 773-281-7110.